Tonight's Amazing Race Recap Up show is sponsored by TrueCar. You know, sometimes on the Amazing Race, finding clarity on what country you're in can be difficult. And if you're not using TrueCar or the TrueCar mobile app, it can be difficult to get clarity on the price of a brand new car, but not when you're on TrueCar, because you can see exactly how much you're going to pay for a brand new car and all the features that you want in the car. And you can see what other people are paying for the same exact car in your area down to the zip code. People are saving over $3,000 off MSRP using TrueCar without any of the hassles or the headaches associated with buying a new car or having to rely on public transportation like many of the teams on the Amazing Race have hassles or headaches with as well. It's how car buying was always meant to be. There's been over 2 million cars sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network, and there's over 10,000 dealers in the network. You'll work directly with a TrueCar Certified Dealer when you visit TrueCar.com or download the TrueCar app and start saving. TrueCar, never overpay. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's a guy who is very sad that the Amazing Race course said tonight, checkmate. I'm Rob Sisterino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our Amazing Race recap here for episode number 7 of season 27. And with me to break it all down, the woman who always knows what country she's in, it is the great Jessica Leese. Jessica, how are you?
I'm great, Rob. I mean, what a great episode. They went to Germany.
Yes. Can you believe it?
Yeah. They went to Germany and the Hagu.
And they went sightseeing in Paris.
Yes. Who wouldn't want to go sightseeing in Paris?
Yes, I guess so. Anytime probably you're not on a race.
Exactly. There's that thing.
All right. So a lot to get to tonight here on our Amazing Race wrap up show. Here we are on Friday night. It is November 6th. And Jessica and I are live here on robhaswebsite.com. We've got our chat room open here on robhaswebsite.com. Plus, we're going to be taking your tweets, hashtag RHAP, and then also on our YouTube channel at robhaswebsite.com/YouTube. Jess, how has your week been?
My week's been busy. It's been a long week, and I'm glad to be at the tail end of it.
TGIF.
TGIF. For reals.
Right. And this is also, we are in the back stretch of the Amazing Race season, correct? Right?
Yeah, we're kind of over the hump now, aren't we?
Yeah, we are over the hump. Only, what, 6 episodes to go?
Yeah, 5 or 6. Was this episode 7? Then we got 6 more episodes.
Yeah, so a lot going on here on our Amazing Race wrap up show. All right, Jess. So sadly tonight, we lose Team Check Attack, Rick and Cindy, who were some of my personal favorites. It was
and
a tough night.
Pick.
It was they were my winner picks. It was a tough night for Rick, especially of Rick and Cindy.
Yeah, I mean, that was maybe one of the worst Amazing Race related injuries I've ever seen. And that was worse than about 90% of the ones I've seen on Survivor as well.
What exactly happened? He got a mosquito bite on his face?
He said he thought it was a mosquito bite. I've never seen a mosquito bite swell up like that. I don't know what animal that was that bit him, but I hope it never bites me.
Yeah, I think he might have got bit by a rat sleeping on the floor of the ship, right?
I think we learned something about where is and is not a good place to sleep.
Yeah. All right. So we will talk about some of the mishaps of Rick and Cindy tonight, plus much, much more on a night where once again, Justin and Diana, even though it looked like it was going to be a little grim earlier tonight, they manage their fourth first place finish of Amazing Race 27.
And their second first place prize.
Yes. Yes. Wow. What a prize. What'd they get? $31,000 and an 89-minute massage?
That might be the biggest prize that anybody has ever won for winning a leg.
Now, is that because, do you think the people from Fitbit listen to our podcasts in the past and you scoffing at the sort of paltry Fitbit prize package that people have won in the past?
Well, at this point, Rob, I just assume every decision that they make on the Amazing Race is down to stuff that we criticize them for.
I said I like that. I said I would want that personal trainer for a year. You made fun of it.
Yes, I did. I did make fun of it, and they did away with it. So thanks for listening to me, Fitbit.
Yeah, they're like, we'll show that girl that thinks this was a dumb prize. We'll give them $1 for every step they took.
Yeah, I don't have to make the tired old second prize is two Fitbits joke.
Yeah. I bet they were really regretting that they didn't do the double Dutch challenge after that.
Yeah, no kidding. How many steps would that have been?
It would have been a lot.
I wonder if they were tempted to just like start like going like this with their Fitbit to get to rack up the points. Because I know I do that with my pedometer sometimes.
Is that what you do? You're cheating yourself.
Well, if I'm at 9,998 and I've gone to bed, I'm going to get up to 10,000. God damn it.
Yeah, I guess you do sort of burn calories from that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it just records like something that's kind of looks like a step is a step.
An appendage was moving. I think that's all it needs to know.
That's all it needs to know. That's all I need to know.
Okay, well, let's write the eulogy for Team Chack Attack. What really went wrong here? Because you had two people where it seemed as though attention to detail was going to be their strong suit, but it did not really come out that way in the wash.
Well, I think there's a couple of different kinds of attention to detail that you got to think about when you're going to go on The Amazing Race. And one of them served them very, very well in tasks because they have that kind of medical precision. But when you're a doctor, you stay in one place all damn day, right? You're doing things like on a kind of a micro level, and on a macro level, you don't need to be as concerned. So things like, you know, which train to take and how to navigate precisely, not necessarily their strong suit, and they screwed up in two different places, and I think a different decision on either one of those ends would have ensured another week for the Chacks.
Yeah, thematically, it really seemed like it was on both ends of the race where it was, so, and really three different times that they had issues with the transportation tonight, with one, the Rotterdam versus Amsterdam train, where yeah. They didn't get off when they were supposed to at Rotterdam. They thought they were going to Amsterdam. They had to be told that it was, not Amsterdam, Rotterdam. And so they had to go back and then double back. That one didn't hurt them too badly. I think they were still like in third place by that point. Then I think what really probably might have hurt them the most was the ill-fated decision to take the bus instead of the tram, which the other teams were taking around. It seemed like they waited for a bus forever, and Cindy seemed like she was really losing her patience, and Rick sort of said, like, stay the course that whole time. I think that was probably the most killer error of this entire leg, even though, you know, the bus ultimately came, and then we had the thing at the end of the episode where they got on the wrong tram that was going to a different place than they ultimately needed to go, and they thought it was one that was making two stops before taking them to the pit stop.
Yeah, I think you're spot on about that, Rob. I think the biggest thing they did wrong, and it seemed like everybody else, they were getting on a bus to a tram, and it seemed like everybody else just went straight to the tram. So there was something in there that they kind of missed, I think.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be that the buses weren't even running that day eventually, because it was like they seemed like they were waiting there forever just to sit there. I mean, that must be such an agonizing thing to go through when you're on The Amazing Race. It's like, go, 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 go. Okay, let's just sit here and wait for the bus while all the other teams are, nobody else is sitting here waiting for a bus.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot more of that than you actually see on the show. There's a lot of stop and go and stop and go, and you're really only moving for a few hours in any given day on The Amazing Race. So I think it's got to be incredibly frustrating in all of those moments to feel like there's nothing you can do in that moment to further your position. And you know what's up ahead, but you can't do it yet. I think that's got to be incredibly upsetting. And I can definitely see where Cindy was coming from with her sulking. I think I probably would have sulked too.
Yeah, and this was really a race where, you know, the Chack Attack was probably lucky to get to this point, even though I was huge fans of them this whole way through. I mean, they were like forgetting things at legs, and it just seemed like, you know, time after time, it wasn't like they struggled with any of the challenges too much. It was just that they had a, you know, it was difficult for them to sort of get from point to point and be able to follow the directions of the clues.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, they do not strike me as seasoned travelers.
No, perhaps not. All right. Well, then on the other side of things, and of course, we will do our exit interview coming up this Monday. I'll have a chance to speak with Rick and Cindy coming up on the podcast. On the other end of things, it was sort of an up and down week for Justin and Diana. It looked like for the first time that they were really going to have some competition for first place. Even though they haven't won first place every single time, but it looked like they were about to get passed by teams that were just able to perform better than them at the tasks. But ultimately, they end up coming through and resuming their rightful place at the top of this race. Are you beginning to see any cracks in the Justin and Diana team?
Well, definitely there have been cracks. Definitely they don't deal well with adversity. They take it out on each other. But I think they had a very good point at the beginning of the leg where they said, you know, we were sniping at each other the whole last leg. But at the end of the leg, we sit down and we talk about what did we do wrong and what do we need to do differently. And I think that shows some remarkable self-awareness. I mean, we will put aside the fact that they then just, like Justin just started sniping almost immediately after they hit the course this leg. But they're at least they're thinking hard about like every decision they make, and they're approaching it in a very informed and a very methodical kind of way. And I think that bodes really well for them for the rest of the race. And, you know, normally I'd be bored with this. I'd be like, oh God, these guys again. I mean, they've won 2/3 of the legs, but I like them. They're fun. They're having a good time. They clearly love the show. Like a team that doesn't love the show, that's just on it to be on TV or get a free trip around the world, when those teams win all the time, that's not as much fun, but this is fun. This I like.
Okay. Now, for Justin and Diana, this is the second week in a row where they're really sort of at each other's throats. Not necessarily like on a Logan and Chris level, but they're really getting into it, which was something we didn't see earlier in the race. Do you think that's sort of healthy, that it ends up sort of bringing out the best decisions? Because we ended up seeing sort of the opposite of Rick and Cindy, where Rick is sort of making a call and Cindy is just going with it. Do you think it's healthy to have that kind of debate between a team on the race? I mean, ideally, you'd like to both be on the same page, but is that better than sort of the Rick and Cindy thing where Cindy's disagreeing and, you know, there's just no more discussion about it?
Yeah, well, I mean, look which team is still there and which team is not still there, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's all you have to say to that. But when you have two differing points of view, if you have one racer that's just going to always accede to the other team, to the other team member, you know, that's not going to, you know, the other person could be wrong. And you need to figure out who's right if you have two differences of opinion. And if you just let, you know, if you just let one person be right all the time, there's going to come a point where they make the wrong decision and you might have been able to speak up for yourself and make that not happen.
The one thing on the Justin and Diana that I didn't like tonight was I felt like, you know, they had the moment where Diana was saying, hey, let's run. And Justin was saying, let's take a taxi. And then so they were having sort of a spat over that. And Justin was saying to her, you just have to admit that you were wrong. And once you admit that you were wrong, I'll drop it. And listen, like, I am no sage when it comes to marital harmony. Believe me, we could do 10 hours tonight on different fights I've been into in the month of November. But Jess, that doesn't seem like that helps anything.
It doesn't. I mean, it goes back to something that my own husband tells me. Would you rather be happy or right? And his response is, I'd rather be happy about the fact that I am right, but he's being a smart ass there. And it's something you got to weigh how much you need to be vindicated against how much you need the rest of your life to go well.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. I've tried that one also. It doesn't always work also like they draw it up. Okay. In terms of now Justin and Diana, there was this narrative that this was going to be the week that Joey and Kelsey were going to be able to pass them by. And Joey and Kelsey, or maybe the cheerleaders, were going to be the new top dogs in this race. For Justin and Diana to beat them both back and to come out on top again, does that say anything to you about their perseverance?
Well, I think it says something about, you know, their performance in the clutch. They're definitely a team that can pull out a victory at the very last second against some tougher competition than maybe you and I had originally guessed that they would have.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was really impressed with the cheerleaders this week. I just got to say that. And I think it was just dumb luck that they didn't win the leg.
Yeah. I didn't understand what happened. Was it potentially that the double Dutch was further away from the pit stop?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was probably neck and neck. When you have people in two different locations doing two different things, it's really hard to tell who's really ultimately finishing first. And, you know, they could have been ahead by 5 minutes and then needed 10 minutes to get to the train.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, let's talk about Tiffany and Krista, the cheerleaders, because it seems like we have a different cheerleader team than we had earlier in the season. And they've chalked it up to earlier in the season, earlier in the race, we were just following what the other teams are doing. Now we're not afraid to make a decision on our own and go in a direction that nobody else is going. We saw them tonight go to double Dutch. Nobody else attempted that. They were able to do it, and ultimately they end up in third place tonight, right behind Joey and Kelsey. So do you think that this is a good direction for them to be going in, or do you think that this is one that is dicey and then eventually could create a problem for them?
Well, there's always an element of risk in that kind of strategy. But on the other hand, you can't win a race if your entire strategy involves following someone in front of you.
Hmm.
Like, that's just, you know.
Then you pass them at the end.
Yeah, that's basic math. You know, I guess you can draft behind someone and then, like, zoom out in front of them, which, you know, that could very well happen. That could be what we're seeing here. But, you know, I think that showed self-awareness. They looked at those two tasks and they said, you know, we're not the greatest at navigating, but this double dash just looks like something we could do. And I would argue that no other team out there right now would have been able to do that task.
Well, let's talk about that navigating task. We had ship or skip, and we had the double Dutch. Is that where it came from? Is that why they call it double Dutch?
I guess. I don't really know. Double Dutch is scary. Yeah, but hey, think about this. You got a team that doesn't even know what country they're in. They're going to do the task that's not navigating, right?
Right. So, Jess, what do you think of this simulator task? This was like some sort of like a Kobayashi Maru.
Yeah, it totally was, except you don't have to cheat to win.
Yeah. Is that how Justin and Diana did it?
Yeah, they went into the back end and they hacked it. That's how they won.
Justin cheated to beat the system. Okay. So in terms of this task, I did think that this looked very difficult.
Yeah, it looked like it was, you know, there was a lot of finessing to it, and there was a little bit of strategy there, too, because the person that knew which way you had to go was not the person with their hand on the controls. So there was teamwork there, there was navigation, there was, you know, a steady hand on the steering mechanism.
The
there was
tail.
A lot of things. Yes, yes, the rudder.
Jess, which of the teams would you most like to sail on a ship with? You've seen, five different teams tonight attempting that?
Yeah, I think I know that I would not want to sail with Mother Boy because they seem like the team that came the closest to wrecking the boat.
And that no, was what I think I was that would be the most fun boat.
That was what I was waiting for, honestly. Like, can you actually die on the simulator? Or can you just, like, fail to drop your pilot off? Because that's no fun. I want to see, like, a sinking boat and, like, flames and bodies.
Well, I think in Star Trek 2, I think that everybody had to, like, pretend to be dead at different points.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I think things were, like, exploding.
Yeah, they definitely were, because they had that fake-out scene in the beginning where, like, everybody dies, and you're like, oh my god, everybody died in the first 5 minutes of the movie.
So you would have liked to have seen some of that incorporated into this naval simulator.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. We need that.
Yeah, I thought that was a cool task. Now, let's talk about Team Texas. What the hell has happened to Team Texas? Where the narrative this season was, well, it's either going to be Team Texas or Justin and Diana. It's a heavyweight battle. Jess, isn't this exciting that we're going to have these two heavyweight teams go neck and neck all the way down to the end? I mean, Team Texas can't even sniff the front of the pack anymore.
Yeah, Team Texas, I don't know. I think they're just... they may not be quite as worldly as some of the other teams here. And I think they are also not great at confronting adversity. Like, something bad goes wrong for them, they can't just shake it off the way we've seen Justin and Diana do a couple of times.
Yeah.
These guys, something happens and they aren't able to claw their way back up to the front. They're not quite as hungry.
Yeah. I mean, do you see them getting back to the top of the pack at any point the rest of the way?
mean, if there's a really big reset point, like if everybody is all on the same flight for next week, they could definitely, you know, get through customs fast, come out ahead, and get a couple of brute strength tasks that keep them up in front.
I don't know. I thought the show really threw them under the bus tonight with that arithmetic scene.
Or threw them under the bus or under the tram.
Yeah.
Under the boat simulator.
With that Fitbit scene of what's 152 minus 128.
Yeah, there was just like, they were doing calculus on that sheet of paper there. I don't know what they were doing. And also, I don't know, like, it seemed pretty self-policing there. Like, I didn't see anybody come close to getting it wrong. I didn't see that, you know, cute tulip girl being like, no, I needed a different number of tulips. Go back and do it again.
Well, the whole thing I thought seemed like it was pretty self-policing of like, okay, what was your highest heart rate yesterday? It's 138.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's just like they just handed in a card. It wasn't like wired to anything. There wasn't anything you had to remember. And it's like, okay, what is it now? Okay, 110.
Okay. Well, you did have to write it down.
Okay. Well,
we saw people writing it down last leg because I was impressed by Joey getting 157 when he checked in at the mat, which he told me later was because they had to run across the street similar to the cheerleaders.
Yeah. All right. Well, how about this, Jess, that I would say that here's the thing with Fitbit to work on for next season. We've already fixed the problem with the prize. People writing down what their heart rate was after the fact. Not as exciting. Give me like the real time monitor, like in the corner of the screen of like, as the guy is bungee jumping, I want to know what the heart rate is as it's happening.
I like that. That's pretty good.
Okay.
And also like have them, don't you correct me if I'm wrong, because my pedometer is just an app on my phone, but with your Fitbit, aren't you able to like download all of your heart rate information and look at it on a screen?
Well, it works with Bluetooth, so I don't know if you need to have your phone nearby or exactly what the problem is, but I don't know if they can't do it on the road or stuff like that. But yeah, it's supposed to track to a computer, so you can sort of sync up that information.
Yeah, I mean, give them selfie cams and have them like download their Fitbit
stuff to their selfie cam. We've been there, done that, Jess.
Well, we've been there, done that with the Fitbits too, my friend.
Yeah. All right. So Team Texas looks like they're just like lost at sea out there. For Denise and James Earl, let's talk about how they were able to, you know, they were in a free fall last week. They end up coming out of the rap contest. They finally get it. They don't have any sort of major screw ups this week. And then they're able to, by the grace of Rick, able to avoid a last place finish this week.
Yeah. I mean, Mother Boy was solid this week. There's not much you can say about them. They did everything right, and they were rewarded for it. So, yay! And I was worried because that was some slick editing at the end. I seriously did not know which way it was going to go. I didn't know if I was being faked out or not.
I thought that was sort of like an interesting, almost a prisoner's dilemma, where you had Team Denise and James Earl like waiting to get on a, you know, get on a tram. And then you had Chack Attack that where they were getting on one. Did you think it would have been a better move to potentially, now I know it was the best case scenario, but if you were in that spot, would you have gotten on the same tram that your competition was getting on?
Hell no, I'd get on the right tram. And I didn't know which tram was the right tram.
I mean, it's sort of like, well, you know, you can't necessarily lose by picking the wrong train.
Right, right. But you just want to make sure that you're doing the right thing. And it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. Just keep your eyes on your own work and make the right moves. And if the other team does something wrong, then that's good for you.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about Kelsey and Joey, because tonight seemed like it was going to be their night. It seemed like it was almost a passing of the torch that was going to be happening. And ultimately, they did not get first place. They got second place, still very respectable, and a good
still night. The first loser.
Good night overall for Kelsey and Joey. Before we talk about their performance tonight, we have not yet discussed the Kelsey and Joey baseball hats. What is your take on that, Jess?
Well, you know, I think a couple of teams are doing this season, and someone always does it, where it's similar to when you're running a marathon, you wear a shirt with your name on it. So that while you're running the marathon, people will shout your name. They'll see your name on your shirt and they'll cheer for you because they feel like they have a connection with you and they feel like they know you because they know what your name is. So this is the strategy behind having a hat with your name on it, because you're wearing those like all through the Amazing Race. And, you know, the downside is that all the people on Reality Fan Forum are going to be able to figure out who you are that much sooner. That probably pisses Bertram off a fair amount. But you have people that will connect to you and help you and give you directions because they see, you know, they know what your name is and they feel more connected to you because of that.
Well, that's really interesting. So you're saying that you go to another country and you're in Rotterdam, and because your hat says Joey on it, like a random person will be more likely to talk to you and help you?
Yeah, you're more approachable because, you know, they connect with you because they feel like they know you already.
All right, well, get this. What do you think of this as an idea? What if everybody started wearing name tags?
That's an interesting idea. And, you know, that would save production a lot of trouble of having to superimpose their names across the bottom of the screen.
No. You misunderstand, Joss. I'm talking about everybody starts wearing a name tag.
Everybody in the world?
Yes.
Well, that just, you know, if everybody did it, then it's like if nobody does it.
All right. Well, I'm going to say something to the mayor. I think this is a good idea.
You do that, Rob. See, let me know how that works out for you.
So, for Joey and Kelsey, are you seeing signs? Are you buying the hype for Joey and Kelsey?
I think Joey and Kelsey have a really strong case to make the finals, if not to win.
Despite the Hagu snafu?
Despite the Hagu snafu. Despite the discovery that Den Haag is the Dutch word for Hagu, which is whatever they were doing. Joey and Kelsey got a winner's edit quote tonight.
What was it?
They said something to the effect of they are hungry to win first place and they keep coming up close but not getting it and they feel like they're going to get it.
Okay. Now, could that potentially mean that they just have a first place leg edit coming up soon?
Yeah, I mean, that's happened before. In fact, that happened this summer on Amazing Race Canada. We had a team that consistently won every leg, and we had another team that was always hot on their heels, and they kept saying, we're going to overtake them, we're going to beat them, and I thought this meant maybe they would win. They ended up second behind the team that won all the time, but they did win one leg. And after they won that one leg, we never saw them again.
Well, Jess, you're the expert. Are you getting a winner edit from Justin and Diana?
No, I'm not. I think they're getting a lot of buffoony kind of clips.
Well, what are you seeing specifically? Can you cite some examples of things that you're seeing in the edit that says, okay, I don't feel like they're going to win, or that was actually bad for them that they showed that?
Well, we're showing them arguing with each other in a kind of a nasty way. Justin is kind of getting over the top negative edit.
OTTN?
OTTN, Rob. He's really annoying to a lot of people. And, you know, those of us that have watched every season 3 times, we know that in real life, he's probably a totally normal dude. And like every single person I've ever met who's been on the show has been a totally nice and normal person in real life.
Everybody?
Everybody, Rob. Like, I'd have a beer with any of them, I'm saying.
I think there's got to be at least one.
There's two.
Two. A team?
Maybe.
Okay.
But I think it's more that they won't have a beer with me than I wouldn't have a beer with them. So, Justin and Diana, a team I would have a beer with. And there are a lot of people out there that really disagree with me on this point. He is getting this edit that he's, you know, overbearing and he's annoying and nobody likes him. And it's really borne out that, you know, out in the world on the social media and whatnot, everybody gets along fine. And, you know, they've all assured everybody that each other is friends with each other and there's not any hard feelings remaining. And it seems to me that they were really playing up this like green team versus everybody else thing so that we would not like the green team. And indeed, a lot of people don't. So, you know, I think that we're getting a lot of like every single negative thing that has happened between Justin and Diana and between them and everybody else. We're seeing that. Mm-hmm. And it's making us not want them to win the whole thing.
All right. Well, let's talk about Logan and Chris, who are always entertaining. How was tonight for you on the Logan and Chris meter?
I wanted more Logan and Chris. They entertain me.
Yeah.
They delight me.
Overall, I mean, this was not a bad night for them.
Yeah, it wasn't. They did just fine, but you wouldn't know it from listening to them, would you?
Yeah. I mean, they were fine. I mean, this was like an average night. I mean, they didn't have any sort of major blow-ups tonight.
No, they were fine. They, you know, they started out in the back of the pack. They were near the back, but, you know, they made up a lot of time on every task. They just kind of moved further and further up, but they were still not happy about it.
You know, in the maritime task, they seemed like the first time they did it, they had no idea what they were even supposed to be doing. Like, I was surprised that they ended up then in the episode then getting it very quickly. But it started and like, wait, what's happening? What are we doing? We're driving the boat? What? Did it start yet? Did it start?
I gotta be honest, Rob. If we were the only people at the task, I would be really, really tempted. If I knew I could just like start over again immediately on that first try, I'd be really, really tempted to drive the boat into the side of another boat just like to see what would happen.
Ram speed?
Yes.
She's gone to ram speed. Yeah. So Logan and Chris seemed, yeah, not ludicrous speed.
But, not ludicrous speed.
You know, Logan and Chris, they were very, you know, fun as always. And it looks like more drama coming on the way next week based on Phil's voiceover for next week's episode. Jess, anything else from this episode before we get to questions?
Well, there was a great mispronunciation. I believe it was Chris that is responsible for one of the places they had to go tonight was Kinderdyke. And there was a really unfortunate slash hilarious mispronunciation of Kinderdyke.
I didn't even pull it. I said, okay, well, let's not.
That's all I have to say. I don't even have to tell you what it was.
It had to be there moment, we'll say.
It kind of was, but it was suggested to us that we should make that the hashtag. And I said, I think we don't want to wind up on a watch list.
Yeah. Okay. So Jess, let's jump into some of these questions tonight. Coach's Beard, our good buddy, says, what's more inept, confusing Rotterdam and Amsterdam or not being able to subtract 128 from 152?
Well, 128 from 152 is third grade math, and Rotterdam and Amsterdam is fifth grade social studies.
Okay. You have your answer.
Yep.
All right. How about Voice of Silence, who says, was this the all-time easiest routine to learn on The Amazing Race? I guess that would be the double Dutch.
Yeah, I think the double Dutch looked hard. I would have had trouble with that. And, you know, I jump rope with a single rope fairly often, and double Dutch just eludes me totally.
Yeah, I was saying to myself, would I possibly be able to do this? And I think I could possibly like time the jumping up and down. But then where I'm jumping and then I also have to do this, that's it. I would not be able to do it. Let's switch tasks to go to the boat.
Yeah, I would wind up like, I think I could probably get the rhythm if I got in there, but it's getting in there. I'd be covered with welts. I'd have rope marks all over me.
Okay, let's keep going to Connor Barry says, what an episode tonight. Are the cheerleaders actually doing well or just lucking into their wins? Luck or skill for the cheerleaders?
It's skill. It was a long time coming. They didn't know they had the skill. They are finding skills they did not know they had.
Yeah. No, they've really come into their own. I've been very impressed.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. I think they're contenders to make the finals, and that would be really cool.
Yeah. By the way, on Twitter, I did see that Krista said that she was very bored with this week's episode of The Walking Dead.
Oh, well, I mean, I'm glad that there was an exciting, amazing race to make up for that. But she already knew what happened. So,
yeah. All right. John Johnson says, are the cheerleaders the new Amy and Maya? No.
No, they're a different casting type.
Because, correct me if I'm wrong, and I have to get my Amazing Race wiki out. I don't think that, I mean, what was Amy and Maya's highest finish on the race?
First.
I mean, before that.
Yeah, before that, it was like third, I think.
I mean, they've been, second and third back-to-back weeks here?
Yeah, they've been very close to winning a couple of times, and they haven't been, like, Amy and Maya were, you know, quietly competent. The cheerleaders went from like mediocre to very, you know, blatantly competent. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a different trajectory.
Yeah. They're really having sort of like a New York Mets 2015 type run where sort of like they were just sort of like not that great. And now there's all of a sudden they're getting hot at the right time.
Pour one out, Rob.
Yeah. It's okay, Jess. Let's go to Mr. Air Sonic. Wants to know, the boat navigation was giving me flashbacks to one of Amazing Race 19's final tasks. Jess, was the same thing happening for you?
Yeah, it was. It struck me as very similar. It was interesting that I think that's something they've done similar things on several different occasions where I think that simulator thing, I think that's a really easy way to have people do something that looks dangerous and exciting without actually putting them in any real risk, which is the point of a simulator in the first place.
Yeah. Is a boat simulator too boring? If you're going to do a simulator, do you want to simulate them going to like outer space?
That'd be fun. Like, you know, do a space camp task.
Max sends Kelsey to outer space. Did you ever watch that movie?
Yeah, like when it came out.
Yeah.
I was like 8.
Okay, Jason A says, are you surprised that Logan and Chris made the final 6? Can you see them making the final 3? What is the upside for Logan and Chris, the most dysfunctional team on The Amazing Race?
You know, dysfunctional teams have done very well in the past. I think you need only look as far as like Flo and Zach. One of the more iconic teams of the very early years. They were at each other's throats the entire time, or really more Flo was at Zach's throat, and Zach sat back and took it. And they made it all the way to the end, and they ended up winning. So there's a team, like, you can be totally dysfunctional within yourselves, and if you do okay on the tasks, you can keep squeaking by.
Okay. Let's take another question. This is from Eric Colston, and he wants to know, how much money would you two get based on your steps from today so far?
Oh boy. Okay.
Easily $15.
Yeah. I made 10,000 yesterday, but yeah. I don't know. I didn't walk to work today, so I don't know how I'm doing.
This was not the right day to ask me that question.
No, me either. I had to get to work fast and I had to get home fast, and I am at 22:31 for the day.
Yeah. Just, but my getting to work is about
going
12
upstairs.
Steps. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could be under 1,000 for the day today.
Yeah. No, I've had a good week. I've averaged 10,000 all week, but today I wasn't going to be doing any extended amount of walking.
Yeah. So. This would be one of the worst days to ask me that question.
And don't ever ask me that on a Friday. I have to be home for Amazing Race.
All right. Voice of Silence wants to know, why is the race avoiding driving by themselves so much? Does CBS still have to pay for Mike and Rochelle's tickets from last season?
Yeah, it's a good point. We haven't seen a whole lot of self-driving. Hmm. But I think it just depends on, I think it just varies according to the year and according to where they're at.
No, I think the big question, I mean, is Ford still a sponsor on The Amazing Race?
I think that's the bigger question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if Ford's not throwing a bunch of money at them this time, or maybe Ford's going to come in a later leg. But
yeah,
tell me in the
chat room, have we had any Ford vehicles so far this season?
I feel like we have had some Ford, but it was pretty early on. I think it's just the places they've been have not been good for driving.
Okay.
Like, you can't self-drive in Rio. You can't self-drive in Buenos Aires. You can't self-drive
in... What about Amsterdam?
No. You could... I mean, they usually put people on bikes, but, you know, we didn't go to Amsterdam unless you were the Chacks this leg. Yeah, but the Netherlands is also, like, it's not the most driving-friendly place. And it's been a lot of cities, and it's been Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not a real driving kind of course yet. That might change.
Okay. Let's take a question from James Berglund, who says, how does the green team edit compared to Rachel and Dave, dominating bickering team?
If I had to choose between being married to Justin and being married to Dave, I would definitely choose being married to Justin, because Justin at least has a sense of humor.
This sounds like a ding, marry, kill setup.
Yeah, it is, but I don't know who the third would be.
All right, well.
Yeah, but yeah, Rachel and Dave, no longer together. And
oh, really?
It seems like there's a pretty good reason for that. Remember, Rob, we had a whole thing.
I know.
Yeah.
It took me a second to remember that. What happened? It was like that we saw it on some Facebook, and it was like unclear whether that would be.
She was engaged to someone else, I think, was what we found.
Mm.
Oh, we have it straight from one of the cast members this season. James Earl says he does not remember any Ford stuff in the early episodes this season, so I'm full of it. Thanks, James Earl.
Okay.
Go, mother boy.
I wonder if they might just still be advertising, but not like product placement.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, but they got to be paying for this course somehow. And, you know, we're not cutting corners the way that, like, season 24 did. You know, people don't have to shave balloons. So there's some product placement. You know, did Fitbit throw that much money at them?
Shaving the balloons.
Never forget, Rob.
Okay. Let's go to Connor Barry. He says, with all the super legs going on and most likely a final four, should we expect a super leg or an elimination leg going into that? I guess that's at final five.
Yeah, we could see. I think we'll probably see another final four keep on racing scenario. Like, okay, that seems pretty par for the course.
All right, let's do a couple more questions here with Jess. Oh, the great Paul Borges says, name tags. Oh, I see. So you can go, you know who I saw wildling today? Herb.
What?
There you go.
Okay.
I think he's out obscure referencing me.
I guess so.
Okay. Tony's Llama says, what do you think of Team Texas pulling an Oswald and Danny minus the shopping? Yeah, wasn't that really wacky of like, oh, I guess the train's not coming for a while. Sightseeing, let's go. We're in Paris.
Well, we saw that. That has happened a fair amount. Like, last season, we saw it happen to Tyler and Laura. They went out partying in Amsterdam.
It was her birthday, though.
It was her birthday, yeah, but that's not an excuse.
Dirty 30.
Yeah, her damn birthday.
She didn't even get a reward or or the clue.
Yeah, she had to do the dishes. we've seen this happen before where, you know, a team is handed a departure time and they think that they are bound to that departure time, so they don't bother looking for anything else. That's got to be in the JL rules. You know, if they tell you you have a departure time, but you can go look for something else, go look for something else. Mm-hmm. You can sightsee after you win $1 million.
Okay, I agree. I feel like the last thing I'd want to do, oh, we have some downtime on the Amazing Race. Let me go to sleep. How about that?
Yeah.
Instead of, oh, why don't we just go run around and do exact same things we'd be doing if this was the Amazing Race?
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, I would say the only time that you know for sure you have downtime is like after you've got the plane ticket and you know you're in front, like go sleep in the airport. That's mm-hmm. what you should be doing with your downtime.
Okay. Then let's take this question. This is from Ryan Menio. I think the first sign of a bad edit was the crappy hashtag for Justin.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, in fairness to Justin and Diana, it seems like the hashtags this season are based on what the other racers are calling people. So they're calling Justin and Diana the green team, and they have been ever since leg one when nobody knew what their names were.
They may be calling them something we can't repeat in mixed company.
That's true. That wouldn't make for a very good hashtag.
They may be, that's the TV safe version of Justin and Diana. Okay, yeah. Jason wants to know, what's your favorite challenge from tonight's episode? Jess, do you want to talk through the challenges real quick?
All right, so we got the Van Gogh at the windmills with you know, tulips tacked onto the end of that. So it's basically, let's just go down the list of everything we know about the Netherlands mm-hmm. and let's just throw that all into one task.
Yeah.
And I do generally like those detail oriented things where you have to run around a lot and try to find something that matches something else. That's a very common Amazing Race trope. And it tests a different set of skills from the ones they usually test. So I like it in that regard. It's not very exciting television.
It was not very exciting television. No.
So that's definitely not it. And then, you know, we get back to town and we've got, I think the boat simulator was a lot of fun. But again, it wasn't like, it seems like it was a lot of fun to do, but maybe not as much fun to watch.
Yeah, like they really needed to have like people like screaming like on the boat. Like I think they like they always have so many extras and actors and stuff like that. Like I think they needed like some people that were sort of like dressed in like naval garb, like captain. Like I think that you could have had some like some guys like causing a ruckus there.
Yeah, or at least get those, like, you know, they have those guys that they picked up from Blind Date that do the animations on the screen. Like just like have a little boat come along and like sink and everybody screams every time they fail the challenge. Like that's all I would have asked. That's all I needed.
Yeah, somebody could make some, like, I'm the king of the world type jokes. Like, there was a lot of fodder there on the boat, I think.
Yeah, I think there was room for improvement on that boat thing.
Okay. Let's do one or two more questions. This is from Mr. Air Sonic. The tasks this episode were crazy difficult, except Double Dutch task. Why didn't more teams choose it?
I think everybody is severely underestimating how hard Double Dutch is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, that's my challenge for you guys this weekend. If you have two friends,
I do not.
Two ropes. Yeah. See, this might be the.
I have neither.
This might be a challenge for a lot of people. Find two friends and try that double Dutch thing yourself.
Okay. And then we'll take one last question from Mr. Air Sonic. Who here thought Joey and Kelsey would get first for sure when they began talking about Justin and Diane always edging them out?
That's the winner's edit quote. They're going to come up from behind Justin and Diana and they're going to win the whole thing. Okay. I think that's what's going to happen.
We will see. All right. So, Jess, we will have our exit interview with the Chack Attack. That will be early next week. So looking forward to that. And plus much, much more. Did anything strike you for something you're going to be writing about?
No. And I've been kind of dropping the ball on the writing. It hasn't been a really writing worthy kind of season so far.
Okay.
But I will think of something good this week. And I promise you guys there will be a good blog.
Okay. All right. So we need a hashtag, Jess.
Well, I've got a good one, but you're going to reject it for being too long.
What is it?
Kobayashi Hagu.
Kobayashi Hagu. I think that I'm going to reject it for being that other than me and you, I don't know how many of our viewers are going to understand what that's about.
Well, then I'm disappointed in our viewers.
Well, why don't we just go with Hagu Snafu?
Hagu Snafu. Like it.
Although I feel like I'd like to do a throwback to last season and do Amsterdam birthday, I think would be a good one for if we were ever going to go back for evolution. It would be a good chapter for Evolution of Amazing Race for last season.
It would. It would. It's a shame that it's taken us this long to think of it.
Yes. All right. Well, I think that we didn't know it at that point.
Yeah, we didn't know it. It all hadn't happened yet.
It's probably the first time we talked about that since then.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. So next week, The Amazing Race keeps rolling along next Friday night. So be here at 9:15 p.m. Eastern time for another Amazing Race wrap-up show. Plus,
it's going to be an international Amazing Race wrap-up show.
Yes.
Because I'm going to be coming to you live from Toronto, Ontario next
weekend.
Oh,
wow. Okay, so we will be, it will be a banner show next week. So be sure to check that out. And then I thought we had a really fun Survivor podcast yesterday with Trish Hegarty and voicemails with Jordan Parhar. So lots of fun stuff in that podcast as well. Plus my exit interview with the latest person kicked off of Survivor and all that good stuff is up on robhasawebsite.com. All right, Jess, have a great weekend. We will talk to you guys again soon. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Bye.